If you have your Bible with you tonight, we're turning to the book of Proverbs and to chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. I'm going to just read the text of Scripture that we're going to focus on tonight. It's a very familiar text of Scripture, not often used at this time of year. But we were singing that carol a little earlier tonight, O Holy Night, and the choir was singing that last Lord's Day evening in our Lessons and Carols service. And there's a line in that carol, in all our trials, he is born to be our friend. And that struck me as I was sitting and listening to the choir last week. And my mind went to this verse of Scripture, Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. As I thought upon that throughout this past week and prayed over the service tonight, this was the verse the Lord laid very heavily upon my heart. A brother born for adversity. It's a verse that speaks to us of our Lord Jesus Christ. So with our Bibles open there, let us seek the Lord together in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for all that we have heard and the singing of Thy praise and the prayers that have been offered, the reading of Thy word now too, and we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt minister to our hearts in the closing part of our service tonight. Lord, we think of trouble in the Christian life and trouble through sin and all the misery of this world, and we thank Thee tonight for one who is born for times of adversity, for our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And we pray, Lord, as we meditate upon Thy word tonight, reveal Christ in His glory to us. Speak to the people of God, we pray, encourage their hearts. And Lord, if there are those who are unsaved in this meeting, have mercy upon them and save them, we pray. So fill me with Thy Spirit, give help tonight in the preaching and in the hearing of Thy word, we pray in our Savior's precious name. Amen. The book of Proverbs has much to say on the subject of family relationships and also on the subject of human friendships. Throughout these chapters, Solomon repeatedly speaks of the bond between a father and his children. He deals with the union between a husband and his wife. And he also deals with the issue of young men and their company, their associations, and the friends that they have. He also deals with the matter of society and how we are to conduct ourselves as we interact with others. From the beginning to the end of this book of Proverbs, Solomon deals with the complex issues that arise among families and arises among friends. It's important that he does. When God created Adam and Eve, he brought them together as husband and wife. He did not leave them to live alone, isolated and separated from each other. Rather, he brought them into a unique and very special relationship. And remember that the persons in the Trinity are relational, and since we are made in God's image, it stands to reason that we would be relational also. And that aspect of this book, the aspect of friends and family, comes very much to the fore in our text for tonight. These words stress the importance of being a solid and steadfast friend. It's a verse that deals with the subject of love, the subject of loyalty, the importance of being there for others in their times of trouble. In August of this year, Time magazine ran an article entitled Seven Signs of True Friendship. The article commenced with the words, "Friendship is one of the greatest gifts in all of life. We all value friendship, but in our modern world, we have lost sight of what friendship really means." I think the author of that article had a very valid point. Our modern world, as he calls it, talks and writes, sometimes blogs and tweets and sings about love and friendship. And yet it barely knows what true friendship really is. Many people have hundreds, if not thousands, of friends on social media. The average person, I'm told, has 339 friends on Facebook. And yet many people feel a tremendous sense of loneliness and isolation and emptiness. So the theme of Proverbs 17, verse 17, is a very important one. And I think it's perfectly summarized for us what Solomon is dealing with here when he says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." What he's dealing with here is perfectly summarized for us in the words of Christ. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39, when he said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And therefore, every one of us in this service tonight should ask ourselves the question, am I a friend like this? Does this verse describe me? Do I strive to love God with all my heart and soul and mind? And then do I strive to love others, my husband or my wife, my family, my neighbors, my friends, as I love myself? Because those two commands summarize the law for us. And I might just add here that this text in Proverbs 17 is clearly teaching that our love and our friendship is not to be sporadic or seasonal. It is to be steadfast and sure. I think it's very easy for us to profess friendship and love and concern at this time of year, and it's very important that we do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But a true friend loves at all times and is there for us even in times of adversity. So there are very important lessons from verse 17 in regard to our interaction with each other. However, having said all of that, and it's very important that we take note of that, we miss the great truth of this book and of this text if we restrict these words to our friends and to our family members. The choice of words in verse 17 point us to an even greater friend and to one who is born to be our brother. And in that sense, the words of Solomon here in Proverbs 17 are pointing us to Christ. The Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 16, another one of Solomon's writings, there's testimony there concerning the Savior, where the spouse says, "This is my beloved and this is my friend." We come into the New Testament, we discover that Christ there is described as the friend of sinners. He is also known as our brother. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, Paul speaks of him as being the firstborn among many brethren. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11, the word is that Christ is not ashamed to call us his brethren. So when verse 17 tells me that a friend loveth at all times and a brother is born for adversity, we are surely being brought here in the Old Testament to consider the friendship and the brotherhood of the Lord Jesus Christ. These words actually complement the words that appear in Proverbs 18, verse 24, that very familiar text where Solomon says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." When J.C. Ryle wrote on this theme, he said, "A friend is one of the greatest blessings on earth. Tell me not of money. Affection is better than gold. Sympathy is better than lands. He is the poor man who has no friends. Yet a real friend is scarce and rare." That's often true. But these words point us to Christ, our true friend, and our real brother. And that's what I want to examine tonight, a friend born for adversity. Notice with me, first of all, that Christ is the perfect friend and brother of his people. He is the perfect friend and brother of his people. In the earlier part of the book of Proverbs, Solomon spoke as a father warning his son about unsuitable and inappropriate companions. In chapter 1, for example, he urged there, "If sinners entice thee, consent not with them." And then he added, "If they say, come with us, walk not in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path." In other words, he is speaking as a father, teaching his son that there are some who would call themselves our friends, some individuals, but they are unsuitable, they are inappropriate, they are unhelpful as friends, and we are better off having nothing to do with them. But that's not the case with Christ. When the scriptures speak of Christ as our friend and Christ as our brother, we can be absolutely sure that Christ is absolutely perfect for us. And I say that for a number of reasons. Christ is the perfect friend. He is the perfect brother because of who he is. Look at verse 17 very closely. We're told there he is a brother born for adversity. The word born there points us to the incarnation of our Lord. Jesus Christ is not just very God of very God. He is also very man of very man. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He appeared as a true babe in Bethlehem. He is God manifest in human flesh. That's the truth that the wise men recognized when they came searching for him and said to Herod, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" They were looking for a real person. They were looking for the king who had been born. And our Lord Jesus Christ is a real person. He's a unique person in that he has two natures. He is both God and man in one person. But he's a real person. He's a true man. He was born. Born of flesh and blood, he is a true man, and therefore, as a true man, our Lord Jesus Christ, this one who is born to be our brother, he is able to identify with us. He is able to understand us. He feels what we feel. He experiences what we experience without sin. He knows what it is to be weary. He knows what it is to be hungry. He knows what it is to be forsaken. He knows what it is to be lonely, what it is to be wounded in the house of his friends. Our Lord Jesus Christ knows what it is to be slandered and despised and tempted and mocked. He was a true man. He knows. He is the one born. And he has experienced all that we experience, but without the sin that accompanies our experience of those things. That makes him a perfect friend. He knows us. He knows us thoroughly. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And therefore I say he is a perfect friend and a perfect brother because he is none other than the God-man. He is perfect because of who he is. He's perfect also because of what he does. Look at verse 17. It tells us here he loves. And it stresses that he loves at all times. A friend loveth at all times. That's quite a statement. Earthly friends change. They often love while they are being loved. They are sometimes only friendly towards us when it's convenient for them to be friendly. And sometimes with the friends we have on earth, if they're not particularly close friends, sometimes their interest in us and their concern for us is sometimes driven by selfishness. They befriend us because there's some advantage that they can gain by being close to us. And the bond that exists between friends and sometimes family can be easily strained, and in the case of friends, that bond can sometimes snap. Most of us are familiar with the phrase, fair weather friends. Describes those who befriend us when circumstances are favorable to them. But when those circumstances change, then those friends leave. They're just there when the weather is fair. Seasonal friends. But the Lord Jesus Christ is not like that. He loves at all times. He loves at all times. His love is not circumstantial. He doesn't only love us when we love him. He loves at all times. Am I really saying that he loves us when we forget him? Does he love us when we grieve him? Does he love us when we are guilty before him? Does he love us when we have failed him? Does he love us when we have slighted him? He loves at all times. He loves at all times. There's a genuine selflessness about Jesus Christ. He loves us in every situation, and his love is exceptional. Malcolm Watts of England once said, "The law requires us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Christ loves us more than he loves himself, for he loved us and gave himself for us." There is no love like the love of Jesus, never to fade or fall. His love endures. He loves at all times. Therefore, believer, he is the perfect friend. He is the perfect brother. Even brothers can fail to love each other, but not the Lord Jesus Christ. The perfect brother because of who he is. The perfect friend and brother because of what he does. He is also the perfect friend and brother because of where he is. Remember the corresponding verse in Proverbs 18:24, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Both Proverbs 17:17 and Proverbs 18:24 are verses that speak of a relationship. There's the thought of a brother there. The closest possible relationship, a relationship in these verses that is best described in terms of a union. John Gill, the Baptist commentator, said this is true of Christ and may be expressive of the close union between him and his people. This is the kind of friend Christ is. We are in his family. He is pleased to call us his brethren. We are in his family, and therefore he calls us his brethren. We are one with him. We are in union with him, and that union has two aspects to it. It has the aspect of us dwelling in Christ, and it has the aspect of Christ dwelling in us. And therefore, he will never leave us nor forsake us. He is not a long, distant friend. He is not a friend who is unknown or unknowable. He is not a friend who is afar off. We have his Spirit dwelling within us, and therefore, he is the perfect friend and the perfect brother for us. And I think tonight it's important that as believers we get a hold of the truth of the friendship and the brotherhood of Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we view Christ as if he's someone far removed from us. We think of him in terms of being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We think of him as the great Redeemer, as the great Judge of all the earth. We think of him in terms of his majesty and his sovereignty and his authority. And sometimes, while all of that is true, we can fail to remember that this majestic Christ of God, full of authority, full of sovereignty, is the friend of sinners. He is our friend. He is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He is a living friend. He is a loving friend. He is a loyal friend. There is nothing unfriendly and nothing unbrotherly about Jesus Christ. He is in every way, the perfect friend and brother of his people. But notice secondly here that Christ's perfect friendship is essential in our adversity. His perfect friendship is essential in our adversity. The two parts of verse 17 are closely connected. In fact, some commentators have suggested that the verse could be read this way. A friend that loves at all times is born, or that is, becomes a brother in adversity. A friend that loves at all times is born, that is, becomes a brother in adversity. The thought there is that this friend plays a vital role. He meets a crucial need. He loves in a particular way in our times of adversity. And true friends are like that, aren't they? We find ourselves in trouble. We can depend on that friend to come and help us. We find ourselves in dire straits. There's a friend there that we can turn to. We find ourselves in the lowest moments of life. And there's someone we know that's on the end of the phone or the end of a text message that we can contact, and we know that that person will be there for us in our time of trouble. In an infinitely greater way, that is preeminently true of Jesus Christ. Christ is the friend and the brother that we need, and he is never nearer to us than when we're in our lowest depths of trouble. He is our friend and our brother in adversity. And let me expand on that a little bit. Christ is our friend, our brother, when we face the adversity of sin. When we face the adversity of sin, the word adversity there means tightness, means trouble. It has the thought of an adversary. It certainly means the thought of trouble. And what trouble sin has brought to every one of us. There's not one person in this service tonight, young or old, who has escaped the ravages of the fall. When our first parents sinned against God, they plunged themselves and all who came after them into a state of sin and misery. And sin has dogged our steps ever since. It fills us with guilt. It ruins our lives. It's associated with shame. It leaves us empty. It means we're troubled. We have no peace with God, no peace with ourselves, and oftentimes no peace with others either. Why are there so many wars in this world? Because of sin. And sin makes us worse than the animals in the field. The psalmist speaks of sin bringing a man low. It deceives us, it defiles us, it degrades us, it would damn us. Sin is our great adversity. And Satan is our greatest adversary. When God created Adam, he created him in holiness and righteousness. But since sin has come in, we are coming into this world and we're stripped and we're left unholy, we're left undone, we're left unclean. And we are in the darkest depths of adversity. We are in an adverse state because of our sin. We are cursed and condemned by a holy God. Do you feel that? Do you feel your sin? Does that trouble you? Is there not a sense of emptiness, a sense of worthlessness, a sense of hopelessness there? Sin never satisfies. It's a shocking thing. It will damn us. But look at the text. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And Jesus Christ is the friend of sinners. He is the brother born for the adversity of sin. He loves the sinner. He pities the sinner. He cares for the sinner. He does more than that. He has given himself for the sinner. How do I know Christ is the friend of sinners? How do I know he cares? How do I know that Jesus Christ is the friend, the brother born for this kind of adversity? I look to the cross, and I see him there, for he was born that he would suffer the adversity of the cross. And he was born to deliver us from the adversity that we deserve because of our sin. He took our sins, all our sins, on his own body to the cross. And as the great sin bearer, he died in our place. He died to satisfy divine justice on our behalf. He died to set us free from the power and the penalty and the pollution and eventually the very presence of sin itself. He died to lift us from the adversity of guilt and condemnation. He is a brother born for adversity. That's why Christ came to earth. That's why he was born of the Virgin. It's why he came to Bethlehem. It's why he took flesh and blood for the suffering of death. And he is the only friend. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only friend who can deliver us from the adversity of sin. We haven't another friend in the world that can do that for us. There is no other friend. There is no other friend that we have who is able to satisfy divine justice and turn away the wrath of God by means of his own sacrifice. None but Jesus Christ. Tell me, do you know him as your Savior tonight? This friend of sinners? This one born for adversity, do you know him? Is he your friend? If you come to him and trusted him for the salvation of your soul, if you do not have him as your friend, you'll have him as your judge. And you'll feel the full fury of his wrath if you do not know the full blessings of his grace. Christ is our friend, our brother, when we face the adversity of sin. He is also our friend and brother when we face the adversity of trials. The Christian life is full of trouble. We live in a world of trouble, and we have trouble in this world. As believers, we wrestle with temptations, all kinds of temptations at all times in our lives. We wrestle with problems in our families. We wrestle with problems in our homes. We wrestle with problems in our relationships. We struggle. We struggle with disappointments. We struggle with discouragements. We face attack from without, from the world and the devil. We face attack from within, from our flesh. We barely go through a day without some kind of difficulty arising in life. And it's in those times of crisis, whatever it might be, it's in those times of need that we could do with a loyal, loving, faithful friend. It's in those times when it seems as if all our earthly friends have deserted us, and all the comforts of life seem to be crumbling around us, and what we counted dear seems not to be able to do anything for us. It's then that we need a friend who is faithful and loving and caring and understanding, and we have such a friend in Jesus Christ. He is a brother born for adversity. And as a true man, he understands our need. He is there to help us. He is there to strengthen us. He is there to support us. As I mentioned, the carol we were singing earlier, that carol puts it supremely well: in all our trials, born to be a friend. I think of David. When David was in trouble, Saul the king was trying to kill him. David had a Jonathan to help him. We have one far greater than Jonathan. We have Jesus Christ. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. When those Hebrew men were thrown into the fiery furnace in Babylon, the Lord was with them. He was a friend who loved at all times. He was the brother born for adversity. When the disciples were tossed on the Sea of Galilee, tossed in the midst of the storm, Christ came to them. Why? Because he's a friend that loves at all times. He's a brother born for adversity. And he still is. What is your need tonight? Personal? Family? Discouragement? Disappointment? Needing guidance for the future? Not knowing what way to turn, what direction to go? And you feel yourself tonight, though it's Christmas evening, you feel yourself tonight to be in a time of dark, dark adversity. Christ is the friend that loves at all times. He's the brother born for adversity. He is touched, Hebrews 4 tells us, he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He understands our weakness. He knows exactly tonight what you are facing. But if you're a believer, he's your friend, he's your brother. He's your elder brother. What a Savior we have. He is our friend and our brother also when we face the adversity of death. Death is the last enemy. But death has lost its power. Still the last enemy of God's people. What does Christ say? Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, why? For I am with thee. My rod and staff, they will comfort you. Right to the end, you see. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What does that suggest? That suggests that there's a friendship with Christ that endures right to the last. And when the child of God goes through the valley of the shadow of death, Christ is with him. He's a friend that loves at all times. He's a brother born for adversity. Some in this congregation this past year have lost loved ones. Some others are growing older and feeling the frailty of their bodies. Some have given deep consideration to the fact that perhaps death is not very far away from them in the natural course of things. That can cause a believer even to fear. Not so much fear what happens after death, just fear death itself. But Christ is the friend that loves at all times, and he's a brother born for adversity, even as you contemplate the valley of the shadow of death. He's there. He's there. Joseph Scriven put it better than most when he said, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear." He is the friend and the brother of discouraged saints. He is the friend and brother of guilty saints, the friend and brother of weary and tired saints, the friend and brother of fearful saints, for saints who believe they haven't got a friend in the world. You think of persecuted believers tonight, lying in some dark, damp prison cell in some foreign country, surrounded by guards who couldn't care less for them. But that believer has a friend who loves at all times. He has a brother born for adversity in the person of Jesus Christ. Maybe you feel like that. Maybe you feel tonight you haven't a friend in the world. There's some saints who dread looking back. There are some saints who dread looking forward, and this is the last Lord's Day of an old year, and next Lord's Day, and the Lord's will, we'll go into a new year, and some people hate the thought of that. But in Christ, we have a friend and a brother who is perfect for us, perfect in all our adversity. He is the friend that loves at all times. He is the friend and brother born for adversity. There's not a friend like him. There's not a friend like the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's close to us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Let us rejoice in that tonight. I've one final thing, for time is gone. Christ's friendship should be valued by his friends. Christ's friendship should be valued by his friends. It's impossible to find another friend, another brother like the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a verse that tells us, a friend loveth at all times and a brother born for adversity. You'll never find a friend like him, believer. You'll never find one who cares for you and loves you and understands you better or more than the Lord Jesus Christ. Never. Even your closest friend on earth cannot reach this. So we ought to value his friendship. We ought to value Christ. And that truth, the truth that Christ is the friend and brother born for adversity, should have an impact upon us. Let me suggest that it should mean we never doubt his interest in us. Let us never doubt his interest in us. We can trust him. Sometimes we are given to doubt. Circumstances come into life and storms rage around us and things change. And we begin to doubt, does the Lord really care? Like the disciples on the boat. Like Martha when Mary left her to serve. Martha comes to the Savior and says, Master, do you not care that Mary has left me? I don't know if Martha realized what she was saying. Master, do you not care for me? No one cared for her like Christ. There she was doubting him. Believer, the more we understand of Christ, our friend and our brother, let us never doubt his interest in us. Also, let us ever cast our cares upon him. If he is such a brother, if he is such a friend, and he is, then we can cast our burdens upon him. We're told to do that in 1 Peter 5. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What is that teaching us? Let's look to Christ. Let us look to Christ. Let us see our sufficiency in Christ. Let us see our support in Christ. Let us see our strength in Christ. We can cast every care upon him, whatever it is. Cares that you may not share with anyone else on earth. But you can share them with Christ. You can cast them onto him. He's the friend that loves at all times. He's the brother born for adversity. Why would you not, why would we not cast our cares upon him? Furthermore, let us strive not to grieve such a friend as Christ. Now, if we have close friends on earth, we don't want to offend them. And if we sense we have offended them, it hurts us to think of that. We try to mend that as quickly as we can if we have any sense at all. How much more should we strive not to grieve such a friend as Christ? Let this truth have a sanctifying impact upon us. Jesus Christ is the friend that loves at all times. He is the brother born for adversity. Let that have a sanctifying impact upon us. My Jesus, I love you. Keep me from doing that which will grieve you or offend you or cause you to withdraw from me. Because he is a tender Savior. And there are times he may have to hide his face from us to draw us back to himself. But let us strive not to grieve such a friend as Christ. We say too that if we understand the friendship and brotherhood of Christ as we should, let us endeavor to follow his example. To love as he has loved. And to be friendly as Christ is friendly, to bear one another's burdens. He forgives us when we sin. Let us forgive others when they sin against us. He loves, even when we do not love him. Let us love our brethren and sisters in Christ, even when it seems they do not love us. He is gracious to us. Let us be gracious to others. He is meek and loving and kind. Let us be the same. If we would be conformed to his image, and he is the friend that loveth at all times, and he is the brother born for adversity, let us see him as our pattern. Christ does not endorse sin. He does not love sin. He does not turn a blind eye to sin, and neither should we. But let us love as we have been loved. And then lastly tonight, if Christ is the friend that loves at all times, the brother born for adversity, and he is, let us work to introduce others to him that they might know him as their friend as well. You know, when we have a close friend, when a young man meets a young woman and falls in love with her, he's very keen to introduce her to others. She likewise. She can't wait to tell others about the man that she's fallen in love with. Christ is the friend that loves at all times. He's the brother born for adversity. Let us do all we can in the last part of this year, and then we come into a new year, to introduce others to this friend of ours. To tell them there's a friend born for adversity. And I love him. And I want you to love him too. This is not just a text about family relationships and human friendships. It's a text about a Savior who was born. One who loved from eternity past. One who loves with an everlasting love. And one who was born that in all our trials, he would be our friend. Do you know Christ tonight? Do you know this blessed Savior as your Savior, this blessed friend as your friend? Or is it the case that you've lived another year without him? Coming towards the end of another month without Christ, another year without Christ, and you're about to step into a new year without him. Take another step towards eternity without Christ as your Savior. Without Christ as your friend, really? To take another step into another day, to take another step through the remainder of this night without Christ. And to know that there's just a step between you and death, and if you die without Christ, you take that step without him. And then stand before the judgment bar of God without a friend, without a Savior, without a Redeemer, without an advocate, without Christ. Will you come to him tonight? For he has promised, this friend of mine, this brother born for adversity, has said in his word, he has said this, all that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. What a Savior, what a friend of sinners he really is. May you come tonight, repenting of your sin, trusting him as your Savior, and receiving him as he is offered to you in the gospel. A brother born for adversity. May God bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We bless thee for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee he is the friend of sinners, the friend that sticks closer than a brother, the one in all our trials born to be our friend. Lord, bless the hearts of thy people tonight. Keep our eyes ever upon the Savior. Lord, save us from seeking the friendship of the world and missing out on the friendship of Christ. And if there's someone here who's unsaved tonight, Lord, have mercy upon them. We pray that they might know what it is to be in union with the Savior. We think of John the Baptist speaking of himself as the friend of the bridegroom, introducing the bride to the bridegroom. Lord, that's our desire tonight, to introduce men and women to Christ, that they might know this friend of sinners too. Lord, hear and answer prayer. Part us with thy blessing tonight. Keep thy hand on us throughout this week. Bless us and do us good. Bless thy word to us, we pray. In our Savior's precious name, amen.